Wednesday, the 2nd of October 2024, and it's time for the afternoon show on Radio Life and Style, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy, Toyota Bolito. And we've got a slightly different a start to the show anyway, because with me in the studio, two very special guests. You might be aware of a petition in circulation from the DOCRA desk, which is the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association. I have the chair of the organization, Dion Fulhoun, in with me right now, and Councillor Jack Abrams, who has knowledge of the area that is under question or in question with regard to the petition that DOCRA is currently asking you to sign. So, guys, welcome both of you to the afternoon show.
Thanks,
lovely
Dave.
To have you.
Thanks,
and
Dave.
It was incredibly short notice for both of you. I understand that, but it's an issue now that is, I think, very much front and center. And there's a lot of information, or not so much information, but certainly a lot of excitement in circulation. I thought maybe we could get some of the facts today. So maybe we should start off by saying, Dion, your petition. Very emotive petition with almost a little video. I was expecting to see, yeah, you know, bombs and you know, pirates and who knows. You know, it was kind of here they come. So I suppose the idea there is to get people to engage and to understand what are the issues in the offing in that particular precinct.
You should have seen the first video. We've had to tone it down, so that's the toned down version.
Wow,
Dave. Obviously, this issue has been coming for a couple of years. There's an informal settlement that has just mushroomed across the road, and in the area where there are quite a number of our estate members, and there's no commitment or proactive action on implementing any kind of bylaw. So it's affecting, obviously, our members, it's affecting the estates, but, you know, it's also affecting the poor people that live there.
Of course.
So issues of noise, of crime, of fire burning, of all kinds of alcohol abuse, no effluent management, no waste management.
Yeah.
And then, you know, mushrooming businesses that are developing on the side of the road, that's causing all kinds of traffic problems and could be a threat to many people. So
that is
the issue at hand. And we felt that we need to test the water and see how the community is feeling about that. We think we know, and I think the petition will tell us. And then we'll go with that to the municipality and go and address it and say, this is the concern, guys.
Now, Jack, I know you've done quite a lot of work. It's and I was under the misconception that this was your ward. In fact, it isn't. It's Ward 4, which is Jethro Bunda's ward. He's an ANC councillor.
That's correct.
He seems to have done very little there to placate the fears of the community affected. But you've done quite a lot of work there. What is the situation on the ground?
It's everything that DOCRA has highlighted, all the ills, the social ills, and not getting services because they are not ratepayers. But on weekends, it's just out of control, and like crime is increased, and people in Caledon are having sleepless nights and sleepless weekends. With,
I believe there are 7 estates that are around the area in question that are negatively or adversely affected by. Well, you know, obviously a situation like that is dropping prices and or threatening to in very valuable real estate, so one can understand their concerns. There is, however, a real humanitarian issue here, because even in the DOCRA petition and the video that accompanies it, and you see this alarming growth and clearly the horrors of waste having to be burnt because it isn't being removed, etc., adding to the pollution, ding, ding, ding. But it is a community, and there's about 1,000, by your reckoning, people living there, and they are there because they have access to some source of revenue. Presumably, they either work in or derive an income from this community. Where might these souls be relocated to? Because that's always the question. I think when you have an errant tenant, for example, and you want to get rid of them, and the court will say to you, Well, that's well and good, and you've got a good case. But we can't enforce it until there is a reasonable prospect of this person being able to be accommodated elsewhere. So until such time as that is identified, they stay. What is the situation here?
I think that's our problem with the municipality, you know, is that the planning for alternate accommodation and human settlement as such has just been so slow and lacking and just not happening and very little energy. Now, this is not something that's just Kwadakuza municipality. I mean, the support for human settlement comes from province and comes from national government. And then they collaborate with the local municipality. So land has been identified. Vlakspruit, there's been some land identified.
Where is Vlakspruit?
Vlakspruit, you know where the Peking Power plant is? Okay, it's
in that
area.
It was the old Bell Farm, one of them.
Yes, so there's an area there. Then there's also Rocky Park.
Sorry to interrupt, carry on.
Yeah, so there's another area there. And this is an example. This informal settlement is a big problem one, and that's the one we're addressing at the moment. But it's not the only one. You've still got Tafeni in Ward 22.
Sheffield area.
In the Sheffield area. Yeah. And you probably have some challenges, you know, in your area where there are vagrants and things like that. It is the whole question of taking proactive measures, planning ahead, being ahead of the game instead of 4 or 5 years behind the game. And that is where we are now. There's all kinds of talk. A year or so ago, we heard about a new plan where we are going to put a platform down, put a tar road, put in some services, and you can come and build your own RDP dwelling or whatever, which makes a tremendous amount of sense. We'll give people more opportunity, and at least it's in a planned area and a planned environment. That goes back 2 years that we heard about that, and absolutely nothing has happened since then.
Now, practically, because I hear you and I understand what the problems and the issues are, but the reality right now is that we have a thousand odd members of the community that are, well, there's a court order to remove them and to forcibly remove them if it comes to that. But practically, what you've identified, I certainly know the one site mentioned, which is patently unsuited to human settlement. There is no infrastructure there at all, and it's miles from any, you know, opportunity for revenue generation. So that clearly, and of course, transportation is a massive cost as well. So that isn't going to fly necessarily. They might relocate people there, but it's not going to be a solution. It's going to be more of a problem. Are there any other practical, real solutions on the table? Because it's one thing to say they must go, and surely the court has ruled in that, but where to? That's the thing.
So Dave, before we get there, let us just manage the bylaws. We've got bylaws here.
But it comes back to the same thing. If they implement the bylaw, they get rid of those people, and where do they put them?
Even before you have to relocate them somewhere else, manage the bylaws. You can't ignore that, you know, there's a long-term solution to the problem, is find alternate accommodation, and you know, don't let this kind of thing happen again, and so on. So plan ahead. But when it's there now, you can't now just turn your back on it and walk away as if there's nothing there.
Are you talking about the nuisance bylaw, the pollution bylaw,
the noise, the traffic, the businesses, you know, those kind of things. So sort of the court case, and that's the legal issue at the moment, KDM won the case, it was challenged, it's gone to Supreme Court, there's organization that's funded with international money, as you well know, that's representing
Basim John Dolo, they who led the march to council.
So they're defending the situation. Okay. So that's playing itself off at the moment. You can't do anything about it. In the meantime, while that's playing itself out, there are bylaws which are being transgressed and are not. So everybody's turning a blind eye to all the other sideshows that are happening.
Okay,
so because there's a big case, you know.
So now, how does one, and this is where the councillor comes in, and I'm very delighted that you're here, Jack. What recourse do members of the community have to enforce the bylaws if the authorities that are responsible are turning a blind eye? I'm under the impression, maybe falsely and incorrect, but AfriForum seem to have done quite a lot of public prosecution in this regard, successfully, I might add, and precedent has been set. Is it possible then for ordinary citizens to then engage with the necessary legal and security cluster to start the process on their own? Is that a possibility?
Yes, it is. Yes, I'm sure that that is a possibility.
Right, that's a bit awkward for him because he works for the municipality. So let me answer that. Okay. Yes, we will definitely consider a class action suit against the municipality for the lack of implementation of bylaws.
Okay, so
that's bottom line.
As I understand it, this means that you then, if you then go this route, are able to engage with the necessary organizations to bring about law and order, and whatever the expenditure is on that exercise, you then present council with that bill, and then having now been set as precedent by these other court cases I've mentioned, by AfriForum, for example, the council would then have to pay those bills. So absolutely, either way, it's going to cost the municipality, ultimately it's going to cost the taxpayer, the ratepayer, you and I.
Sure.
So we're kind of between the devil and the deep blue sea either way.
No, but you know, whether it costs us or not, the fact of the matter is that that cost would be less than all the costs that are currently happening, whether that's loss of property value, loss of lifestyle, loss of life, and loss of dignity that's happening. So that's a massive cost.
But now let me stop you there for a second, because I really don't know intimately. Jack is probably best placed because he's been in there. I've been into that community on the outskirts because I was curious. I was interested to, for example, find out there was an upholsterer that's working. There is an upholsterer there. And I had an issue where I needed a zip replaced in a guitar bag, and I was wondering what sort of a job they might do. So I popped in, support local, maybe having transgressed completely by doing so. And I found them to be extraordinarily helpful and extraordinarily industrious, and they did a fabulous job. I looked around and I saw order. I saw, I didn't see the what you're describing at all. And I'm wondering if I was just, possibly seeing what I wanted to see, and whether or not, in fact, it is as bad as you say, or whether the video has made things out to be somewhat more dire than is in reality the case. What do you think, Jack?
Well, Dave, I've also met some of the people there, and they work in our communities, and they are well-respected people, and they are decent people. But like you say, and some of them live from in locations not too far away from us, but now they've chosen to move here. But like you said, or like Docker has pointed out, there is no services to them.
But there were services a while back. They did have municipal refuse collection. That was a fact. As far as water is concerned, I think there's water there. I don't know for sure, but there seems to be water.
There's water points that have been laid on here and there.
So since the municipal collection of refuse stopped, they've had to resort to burning which clearly, if one was to reverse that decision, you could get the litter collected. Someone's got to pay for it, surely. And, user pays, generally speaking. So that might be not a popular move. People might move out on their own volition if they are being charged for the services. Might get rid of two problems: pollution, dirt, etc. Crime, well, we've got a solution for crime, and that is simply to beef up law enforcement. This is an issue it's ubiquitous to anywhere in South Africa. Public nuisance, well, there again, we've had situations in Ballito of late, by the way, in the very leafy areas where people have been partying right through the night. It's customary, apparently, in certain society where you just go through the night happily. Clearly, as a society, we have to find mechanisms to understand firstly, and then to be sensitive to everyone else's needs, and these are, it's education. What are the other issues? Oh, property values. Yes, I can understand. But then surely by removing that community, what replaces it? And does that then increase the property value? I don't know. Because it's public land, isn't it? It's municipal land.
It is municipal land identified for a school. I once again want to not address at the moment the moving them away, because there is no place to move them to. Clearly, it's court cases and whatever the case is. Our issue at the moment is the lack of bylaw enforcement and the support that the community needs. Now, when you and I go in there for business, and I go in there quite often to go and deliver soup because we run a soup kitchen there and we assist people there, during the daytime it's fine. Go there at night. Go there over a weekend. Go there over a long weekend. Go there at the month end. Then it's a different ballgame. Then those poor people have to lock themselves into their shacks.
But there again, that's a crime. That's a ubiquitous criminal element.
It's crime. It's alcohol. It's, you know, and there are kids there, and there are babies there, and there are elderly people there. So those are the things that are the ills that everybody's turning their back on. Well, everybody, we aren't. But the municipality from a service delivery point of view and bylaw enforcement point of view.
So if I can then get this, if I understand you correctly, the petition that is in circulation is not a petition to force the removal of these souls in a kind of heartless manner. It is more, if I understand you correctly, to enforce to get council to enforce the bylaws, and failing which, to get the community behind a private attempt to bring law and order and a sense of general community back into this area, which
neighborliness, good neighborliness.
So we're all then on the same side, I think, because no one can surely be against what we're talking about in terms of bringing a cleaner, greener, more secure environment for those souls to live in, and for the neighbors around them to be able to tolerate, because then the nuisance factor is somewhat ameliorated or removed. Is that a correct understanding, Jack, as far as you are concerned?
Yes, Dave, but then also going back on the property values, the estate agents are saying it's not decreasing the property values, they are just struggling to sell, so they said we should just put that out there, so it's not negative that property values are being decreased. But
I would imagine if you've got an area that is full of pollution and crime and violence, property values automatically would come down. Estate agents, I'm sure, are going to say never. They're still worth that kind of money, and we're still selling it that kind of money. I understand that game, but clearly, everyone would benefit from having the society brought under the protective watch of the municipal bylaws, which are there to protect everybody. And then one can deal with the issue of the legality and the relocation when things are at less of a crisis point and able to roll out effectively and properly. So I think ultimately this petition is going to be core critical in gauging your support for the... what I would consider to be an extremely important move from the private arena, the private sector. Looking for a public-private partnership here would be ideal, but failing the public engagement on this matter, the private sector is now looking for your mandate to proceed to bring about a sense of hope, really, to the community affected. At the moment, there's a sense of desperation, fear, negative sentiment, and, of course, under those conditions, crime runs rampant, as does antisocial behavior. And ultimately, I think DOCRA's petition here is asking for you and your support to literally move in there, and I want to use the word save the day. That sounds a bit dramatic, but ultimately it comes down to that, you know. I think there are more good people in that community than there are rogues. They just need your help.
Absolutely.
So guys, thanks so much for popping in at the last minute. and Dion, before we wrap up, and then Jack, you were there as well, apparently the latest council meeting revealed some interesting developments.
I think the thing that DOCRA is concerned about is the media announcement that the mayor has now lost her ANC membership. You know, 3-4 weeks ago, there was a media announcement that she's been withdrawn, but she carried on operating and being around and large and in charge and visible and chairing council meetings as recently as last week Thursday. Then on Friday, the announcement came that she's no longer a member. But however, interestingly, the municipality hasn't received a letter from anybody officially stating that she's no longer there. So,
and legally that has to happen, because until that happens, she is still the mayor.
You can't react on a media statement.
Exactly.
You know? So now she's on special leave. Okay. So I go to a council meeting, which I'm permitted to. So I heard about the meeting this morning. So I pitch there, and I hear that the mayor, when they go through the apologies, she's on special leave, and she won't be here, which means that and as you know, we don't have a deputy mayor. So we are mayorless, we are rudderless, we don't have anybody in control. Plus, there is no process that has started, the 14-day process, to either get a temporary mayor or a new permanent mayor or whatever.
What does this mean? If we don't have a mayor, does that mean that there are no services, or you could discuss?
No, that carries on. So the administrators are carrying on doing their work. But there's no oversight, there's no direction, there's no leadership.
Okay. One might argue that that has been the case from the start, but
you're very right.
You're entitled to your opinion.
That's maybe just getting a little worse now, and so on. And you're finding quite a number of councillors just not pitching for meetings and boycotting or going on leave and so on. So we have a crisis. We have a governance, leadership, and oversight crisis at the moment at our municipality. Okay. And that concerns DOCRA, and it concerns the community.
We're clearly, and now is DOCRA gearing up for once again stepping in with some kind of direction and possibly a legal challenge to get things back on track?
Absolutely. So we're currently considering our options, considering what it would take, to actually ensure that we get a proper leadership and governance structure back in. The one thing that I do want to mention, and memory doesn't go back that far, just after the May elections, there was that eerie 2 weeks of negotiations, and none of us knew what's going to happen and whatever the case is. I'm hoping we're in that stage, and I'm hoping that whatever happened with the GNU at national level and at provincial level is going to maybe cascade in some or other form, and is busy currently being negotiated in some or other form for our municipality. So okay. I hope that is happening.
Can one depend on that, or shall one rather hedge the bets and go ahead with the action as proposed?
Yes, I think we will do that. So we'll have a meeting on Friday and go through the details and so on. We're doing a lot of research at the moment to establish which is the best way to go. And we'll certainly keep you posted, because this kind of situation is not good, and we are not comfortable that the administration are ruling the roost as they do.
I think that's been well put, and clearly the importance of a strong ratepayers association now is very firmly in the set. Easy to identify where the problems are, where the solutions are going to come. Well, that's why the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association needs your support. And it's not just the tacit support of the signing of the petition, that will help tremendously, but also your membership. This is vital, and I believe the membership is at an all-time high right now, but there is always
always need more.
Yes, room for you to join if you're not already a member. It costs very little, but it means a hell of a lot. And ultimately, it kind of future-proofs your investment in this magnificent part of the country. And we're very fortunate to have a ratepayers association like DOCRA, and men like Dion that are prepared to stand up and be counted as a volunteer, but doing fantastic work. And a good counsellor, Jack Abrams, thanks for popping in at the last minute. And I think it's very healthy to be able to call on our elected representatives, and they come forward and, you know, put it where it makes sense. So I look forward to continuing discussion. This will go up as a podcast very shortly. So if you've missed the bulk of it and want to hear it in full, the whole discussion, or you'd like to share it with those that are busy doing other things, it'll be available on our website, lifeandstyle.co.za. Look for the afternoon show. Look for this podcast. I'm going to put up a picture of my two guests. You will not be able to go wrong then. You'll identify them straight away. And then you can share the love, as they say. Once again, thanks to my special guest,
Thank
Jack
you,
Abrams.
Dave. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dion.
We'll chat again soon. The afternoon show continues.